All right. I was listening to that Terry Mize. I don't know. Did you guys see any of that? Terry Mize. Linda, did you see some of him on Copeland?
Yeah, is he on again?
No. But I was listening to, they had a, it's an 11 CD or something deal on the spiritual authority. And I did get it. I bought that. I got it. But he was saying, he was preaching somewhere, and I don't know. He says, well, I've been preaching for 45 minutes now. You know, he said he thought he'd go on a little bit longer. You know, he thought you guys could take it. He says, you know, he said the longest time I preached was 10 and a half hours. So he said, I wasn't going to go. He said, I'm not going to go 10 and a half hours. But praise God. Well, today I'm going to talk about, and this is the title, The Precious Blood of Jesus. Okay, and since this is a communion Sunday, it's working just right. Amen. And it was the Lord that I believe that spoke to me to preach on this today. And this is going to be like at least it'll be a two-part series because I can't do the whole thing today. But I hope your fingers are nimble because we're going to go through a lot of scriptures. You got to, you know, maybe it's an iPad or one of those electronic deals. I don't know, but we need to go through our Bibles. Amen. There's something about reading the Word, you know, looking it up in your Bible. And the scripture that I want to use is 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18. You get it, bro? You're pretty fast. Hey, you got a smile on his face today. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Amen. And it next verse says, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Well, the part I wanted to get to is the precious blood of Jesus, okay? Sometimes we just go past the blood. We don't think about it too much, you know, or this. But it's the precious, precious blood. So you notice the scriptures use the word precious to describe the blood of Jesus, okay? Brother Hagin, in his book, he's got a book called The Precious Blood of Jesus, said about the word precious, he said that, and it is true, that circumstances make things precious. Circumstances make things precious. For instance, you don't realize how precious health is until you get sick. Okay? Man, I mean, here about 4 months ago or so, I bought some cream brulee or something. I don't know what store I bought it in. It's that stuff you put your coffee in. Man, I don't know what was in that thing. I put it in my coffee, and as soon as I drank that cup of coffee, I knew I was in trouble. Man, did I get sick. I was so sick, I thought I was going to die, man. I mean, it was bad, boy. I've had food poisoning twice in my life, and this was almost about that bad. You know, it was just terrible. I was so sick. Man, when you're really, really sick, you realize how precious health is to not be sick, to just be alive without any pain and sickness, just to be able to walk around, enjoy life and breathe. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, You don't realize how precious health is until you get sick. You don't realize how precious it is to live without pain until you suffer pain. Okay? Yeah, you know, if you're in total, if you're in serious pain a lot, life is rough. Life is rough. To be without that pain is such a precious thing. You don't realize how precious it is to live without pain until you experience pain, a lot of pain. You know what I'm saying? That makes it so precious to have to be healthy and not have pain. You don't realize how precious food is until you suffer real hunger. I'm not talking about skipping a meal, you know, in America, right? We're taking in, you know, 10,000 calories a day. You know, we go through McDonald's, and I saw there was some hamburger. I was looking at on the news. There was some hamburger that had like 3,000 calories in it or something. It was just a monster burger thing. You know, it was terrible. But, you know, in America, and I can't imagine people really being hungry in America, but they say they are. I don't know, in some of these cities and stuff, but there's so much abundance and there's so many programs to help people. But if you look at places in Africa or different places where there's famines and different things, and you see people literally dying of hunger. You know, there's people dying of hunger over in Africa and in the Middle East. They'll cut off, they'll surround cities and no food can get in, you know. I read where in Africa there's this terrible group. They're kind of like Al-Qaeda or ISIS. They're called Boko Haram or Haram or something like that. But like they said, like 25 of them surrendered the other day because they were starving to death. I mean, when they came out of the jungle, they were just like their ribs were all showing, okay? You know what I mean? So you don't realize how precious food is until you suffer real hungry. I mean, we always have food every day, you know. More than enough. We have abundance of food and we have so much. So we just take it for granted. But if you were, say, stranded, you were in a plane crash in a island somewhere and there was no food and you were starving to death, then you would realize, you know, how precious it was to have something to eat, you know. But when that's taken away, then, you know, it really gets bad. So hunger makes food precious. Thirst makes water precious. And poverty makes riches precious, you know. If you're just so poor, you got no money for anything, you know, to have all of a sudden have extra money to do things with, you've realized, oh, what a blessing. It's so precious to be able to just go to the store and buy things, you know. And I said all that to get to this. And sin makes the blood of Jesus precious. Okay? Sin makes the blood of Jesus precious. Because of Christ, the blood of Christ is precious. Amen? Because, and we're going to look at some of the reasons here, is that of his purity. The blood of Jesus was absolutely pure. Okay? If there had been one iota of wrong in Jesus, he could not have been our Redeemer. If he had committed one little tiny sin, he couldn't have been our Redeemer. Okay? In Hebrews, look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. Hebrews 7, 26. And it says, such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, right? Are you guys following me now? Set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Okay. He was holy, blameless, and pure. There was absolutely not one tiny bit of sin or impurity in the blood of Jesus. I've always thought one thing that I don't know if that's in my notes or not, but there was no one, not only the word precious, but rare. You know, what makes something rare when there's just, you know, there's not much of it, it's hard to get, you know. I watched that Gold Rush movie up in Alaska, you know. My gosh, these guys got millions of dollars worth of bulldozers, equipment, and they're plowing up, gouging up the earth, and there are tons of rocks going through this machine, and they get a little thing of gold dust. I cannot, how hard it is to get the gold, right? Man, they got to go through a bunch of stuff to get gold, you know. Well, you know, in Jesus, and it's rare, right? Gold is kind of rare, you know, it's hard to get and stuff, and, you know, there's other things that are rare, but, you know, Jesus, his blood is probably the rarest thing in existence that there ever was, because there was only one person that had it, and it was Jesus. There was no one on earth that had his type of blood, which was pure, I guess, you know. It is, of course, it is pure and holy. I always thought, what if they could get some of the blood of Jesus off of the cross or somewhere and check it for DNA in our modern age? What would it look like, you know? Whatever you saw. But you know what? They could have searched the universe, galaxies, and they could have never found another being anywhere that had the blood that Jesus had that could have saved us. It was only Jesus. It was so rare. There was nothing like it. It is so rare and precious. It has this miracle working power that saves our souls, cleanses us. You know what I mean? It's not only precious. I think one reason that it is precious is because it was so rare. There wasn't any other like it. It was only God himself, because Jesus was God that came down earth. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God came down here, became a human. He did not have an earthly father, so where did he get his blood? You know, because the blood comes from the Father, right? He didn't have a human father, so his blood came from God himself. So nobody or anything in creation had blood like Jesus had, right? And so it is so rare and precious, the only thing that could have possibly saved us. You know, it says that if you've heard of blue-white diamonds are called precious stones, not only because of their flawless purity, but because they are so rare. Blue-white diamonds. There are so many diamonds, but blue-white diamonds are very rare, okay? And the blood of Christ is rare because if Jesus had refused to die on the cross, if he had said, I will not drink the cup, instead of saying, not as I will, but as thou will, right? Because let's face it, nobody in the flesh would want to die on the cross, right? Remember Jesus prayed and said, if it's possible, take this cup from me. He said he sweated like drops of blood and stuff. It was a tremendous pressure on his physical being, but he goes, you know, not my will, but the Father's will, you know. We would be destined to damnation in the lake of fire if Jesus had not said that. If he did not say, your will, but not my will, but your will, we would all be in trouble because only his blood could save us. And if he would have refused to do it because of what he had to face, we'd be all lost, going to hell. You see, there is no other way to pay the sin debt and take our place. There's no other name. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. Jesus is it. There's no other door or gate. In John 10:7, it says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. That's what Jesus said. I am the gate. I am the way, right? There's no other way. Jesus answered in John 14:6. He says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. Don't believe these people you see on TV like Oprah Winfrey or whatever. There's many ways to God, you know. You can be a good Hindu. You can be a good Muslim. You can be a good whatever, you know. The church of the comets, you know, and all this stuff. There is no other way. Don't believe that. Don't believe that Muhammad and our God are the same, you know. That Allah, that the Muslim God is the same as our God and all this stuff. Don't believe that for 1 minute. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus came through that line, not Abraham and Ishmael and whoever the next guy was. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? And one reason also that it's precious is because of its indispensability. It's actually indispensable. All spiritual life depends upon Christ's shed blood. In Hebrews, look at Hebrews 9:22. I think we were in Hebrews, weren't we? Hebrews 9:22. It says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It's absolutely indispensable. We cannot be cleansed from our sins by anything other than the blood of Jesus. Is that right? It's the blood of Jesus, amen, washes us white as snow, amen? So another reason why the blood is so precious is because of its redeeming power. Look at 1 Peter 1:18. Well, we read that, didn't we? Well, we're going to read 18, 19 to 20. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sakes. Amen. And it says, in verse 18, that we were redeemed. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, right? It was only by his precious blood that we were redeemed. It's the blood of Jesus that redeems us, that pays the price for our sins, not only for yours and mine, but for the whole world, for everybody's, right? So, we should have such an, you know, attitude about the blood of Jesus and esteem it to the highest place possible. It is so important. It is so precious. We should not just casually talk about the blood of Jesus. It is so powerful, so precious. It is what redeemed you from hell, really. Amen? It's what cleansed us from our sins. Galatians 3:13 says, for Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Okay. And it also is precious because of its cleansing power. The blood of Jesus has cleansing power. Amen? 1 John 1:7. Let's look at that. 1 John 1:7. And it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It has a cleansing power. It purifies us from all sin. Amen? There isn't anything else in all existence anywhere that can cleanse you from your sins. Right? It's only the blood of Jesus. Amen? You remember that song? The lyrics of that one song, it said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's an old time song, isn't it? Huh? Amen. And then in Revelations chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Amen. Verse 6 says, has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. Amen. And has made us kings and priests. Do you think of yourself like that? That's what his blood has done, man. Made us kings and priests before God. I mean, that's what the blood did. Glory to God. Isn't that something? We think of ourselves as these poor little humans down here that the devil's just kicking all over the place, right? And we got no power. Everybody's running over. Life is bad and this and that. Hey, man, the blood of Jesus has washed us clean and purified us, and we become kings and priests before God. The Bible even calls us saints. How about that? Sometimes, you know, it's hard to get that word out of your mouth. Like, I'm a saint. You know, it's like everything says, you liar. Yeah, man, we're saints. Yeah, I mean, God has just done the greatest miracle. Amen. How wonderful. Praise God. What his blood has done for us. And it's also precious because of its reconciling power. Okay? In Ephesians 2:12, let's look at that. Ephesians 2:12. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. This Terry Mize talks about spiritual authority. And that guy knows about it. He's been in so many different kind of situations and stuff, you know. Had to take spiritual authority. But you got to know who you are in Christ, you know, that you're not just a little wimp for the devil to kick around. Man, Jesus didn't just abandon us down here to the devil to kick around, man. You've got authority. You can kick the devil around is what it amounts to. Amen? You can take authority over his wicked ways. I did forget a scripture. Doggone it, we were in Hebrews, weren't we? Yeah, look at back up to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:11. I want to read this because it's really, really good. Hebrews 9:11. Let's see. 11 through 14. Hebrews 9:11. When Christ came as high priest of good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. You know, there's a real tabernacle in heaven, right? The one that was made on the earth, you know, was just kind of a type and shadow of the real one in heaven. And he said, that is to say, not a part of this creation. Verse 12, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves. This is the one in heaven, okay? He did not enter that tabernacle by means of the blood of goats and calves, but entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood. Okay. Having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremoniously unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit have offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences of acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? You know, in the Old Testament, that high priest could only go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. And he had to go through all kinds of rituals and cleansings. He had to wear certain clothes. They had to kill bulls and sprinkle blood. And they just, Hebrew tradition says when he went in there, and it was only once a year, the Holy of Holies. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And, you know, there was the two angels on the top of the Ark, and their wings come out and almost touched. Inside the Ark was some manna, I believe, the Ten Commandments, and I believe Aaron's rod that had budded, you know. And they tied a rope around his leg when he went in. And I think they had bells around the bottom of his, or on his garment, because if he had done one thing wrong, he drops dead, man. I mean, like a rock, just boom, he's dead. Well, how are you going to get him out of there? Nobody can go in and get him out, right? That's why he got the rope around his leg. He can pull him out, right? Jesus walks right into that holy, holy with his own blood, the blood that he shed on the cross. And, you know, this in the Old Testament, that tabernacle, everything they did with the sacrifices, it was every day, every week, all the time, every year. You're shedding blood. Every time you do something wrong, you step on a dead bug or something, you know, just about in the Old Testament. You committed a sin, man. You got to do something. You know, go take one of your perfect, best lamb you got. Take it down there. Have it slaughtered, you know. Sprinkle that blood all over it to cover your sins. Not wash them away. Cover them. You know, it's like putting a Band-Aid over a big sore. You pull the Band-Aid off, his sore's still there, isn't it? Well, what Jesus does, he just cleanses. He heals it and cleanses. It's like pure baby skin, right? Well, Jesus walks into the Holy of Holies with his blood and redeems us once and for all. It never has to be repeated. It's done, man. Jesus did it, right? His blood. Because, you know, because the Bible says there's no way the blood of bulls and goats is ever going to cleanse you from your sin. It'll temporarily cover it, right? And thank goodness for that, or, you know, because the wages of sin is death. So really, if you committed sin, you were supposed to die. And God knows, well, that's the end of the human race, right? Because I know they're all going to be sinning. So he makes a temporary system where you can substitute an animal in your place. But that was only temporary until Jesus, at the appointed time, God sent Jesus. Okay. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. One drop of Jesus' blood. What would just, I mean, one drop of his blood, what would it be worth, you know? It'd be worth more than the entire universe. I mean, it's so rare. There's nothing else. What is your soul worth? You know, like Bill Gates or even like Trump, you know, these billionaire guys? And there's a lot of people richer than Trump. What would they give when they die? And they saw they were approaching hell. What would it be worth to have what you got, Joyce, you know, or Lynn, or Eloise, you know? What would they pay to have their sins forgiven and go to heaven? That $10 billion wouldn't mean anything then, would it? Nothing worth, it would not mean a thing. All that money doesn't mean anything in hell. You can't buy a Pepsi in hell and a hot dog, can you? No, you can't buy anything. There ain't no McDonald's drive-thru down there. You know what I mean? All your billions are worth nothing. But the poorest person in America that's saved is richer than Bill Gates. Because he just has this much life left till his body gives out and dies. And he ends up going to hell, if that's the case. I don't know. I don't know personally, you know, if he's saved or not. But you understand what I mean? But Jesus did say it's harder for a rich man to get in, you know, it's easier, it's harder going through the eye of a needle, a camel, to go through an eye of, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. So be careful about wanting all your millions and billions, because it could pull you away from the Lord and get you in a lot of trouble. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Money can do some funny things to people. Just believe God to meet all your needs abundantly, and that will work out real good. Amen? Praise God. Of course, if he wants to make you a very rich person who can bless others and give and do all that and build an orphanage someplace, you know, or have a ranch in Eastern Oregon for poor children out of, you know, these big cities. Hey, more power to you, you know, just use it for the glory of God. Amen. And it doesn't mean you can't have a nice house or a nice car. Yeah, of course, you know, take care of your kids' educations, you know. Praise God. Now, Ephesians 2:12, it says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Amen? That blood, you know, has reconciled everybody. Not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. We've all come into the family. Amen? You know, it used to be Israel was the only one that knew the real God. They had all the laws, all the covenants. They had all the stuff, you know, because they knew about God. They had the prophets. All the heathen were just out there running around. They were, what did they know, you know? But boy, when Jesus died, you know, it's a, remember when that Roman centurion called Peter to his house, and then, you know, Peter was up on the roof of a house and he saw this vision or trance. He saw all these animals and all this stuff, and God says, kill and eat. And he goes, hey, I've never done that. I won't do that. And he says, hey, don't call anything unclean that I made. And about that time, these guys knock on his door and say, our centurion, you know, the Roman, wants you to come to our house. And so Peter did it. He goes there, and they want to know all about Jesus. They want to know everything Peter knows. And lo and behold, they get saved. Not only that, they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, start speaking in tongues. And these guys are freaking out. What? They're not even Jews, man. And here they are talking in tongues. You know, they got saved talking in tongues. And then he says, man, we got to baptize these guys in water. You know, they got saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost. So they baptized them in water. So it's, we're brought into the God's kingdom. We're children of God too, you know. There is a certain benefit to being a Jew. There's no doubt about it. But thank God, I don't care how I got in. Amen. But salvation was made available to the heathens, to the Gentiles, to everybody. Actually, my understanding is the nation of Israel, they were supposed to be a light unto the world, because God sent Jesus into their, you know, he came to us through the Jewish nation, and they rejected him for the most part. They should have all received Christ, become all born again, fired up believers, right, and took it to the whole world. But they didn't do that. They rejected him. But we, you know, in the end times, there's going to be like 12,000 super evangelists come out of Israel. If you listen to Jonathan Kahn preach when he gets going, he's a Jewish guy. And they go, man, 12,000 of those guys, you know. But, you know, they're still going to, and that will be during probably tribulation's time, if I remember correctly. But now in Colossians 1:18, we're going to finish up here. Like I said, this is going to be a two-part thing. We've got just a couple more scriptures. Colossians 1. Let's see here. It's okay to get excited about God. It's hard to get excited about God if all you do is watch TV as the world turns and General Hospital and all this stuff, right? Or the swamp people or something, you know? Sit down, read your Bible. There's all kinds of books and things you can read about God, CDs, DVDs, pray, talk. Just talk about God, what he's doing with your wife, your husband, with your children. Grab your neighbor, talk to them, get them saved. You understand? The more you talk about God and how wonderful he is, about his word, and read your Bible and pray, it just starts rising up inside of you, man. It just gets so good. Amen? If you're depressed and feeling bad, just start thinking about God and how good he is. Amen? Start confessing the word of God. He will charge you up. He will make your day, it will make your day better. Amen? Instead of thinking about the bad things and the problems, think about the answer, Jesus. Amen? It says, now Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or by making peace through his blood.
Where is that?
Colossians 1, 18 through 20.
Colossians,
yeah. Okay. 18 through 20. I'll read it again. And he is the head of the body and the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace. Okay? By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, we had become kind of the enemies of God. When we fell into sin, we were separated from God. We were no longer God's, you know, people and buddies. We were his enemy. We had fallen in sin, right? I mean, that sounds pretty hard, but you know, Satan is God's enemy, right? And if you're falling in sin and you're following Satan and the God of this world, you have become God's enemies. Okay? The Bible says love for the world is hatred towards God. Did you know that? Love for the world and this world system is hatred towards God. Why is that? Because Satan is running the world system and it is evil. We can see that. We can see what's going on in this world, the corruption, the immorality, the wars, everything. You know, it's just, you know, Satan is he's kind of orchestrating this whole thing behind the scenes. You don't see him and you don't really think about it, but his hand is in just about everything. And so, I think we'll stop there for today. Like I said, it will have to be a two-part series, and then we'll continue that next week about the blood. It just gets better. There was a story I wanted to tell, I guess I have to tell them next week. There were several stories, true stories about the blood. There was one, I don't have the story, I was going to read it out of this book, called The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. And it was about the story of foxes, okay? And what happened, this guy, he was a preacher and he was traveling, he was preaching to some church somewhere, and the devil told him somehow that his family and his children were back home on kind of on their farm property, that he was going to kill his children through the foxes were rabid. And the devil just spoke right to the preacher, told him, I'm going to kill your children. I'm going to have these rabid foxes bite them, and they're going to die of rabies. Yeah. And he pleaded the blood of Jesus over his property, and he says, my property line, and he pleaded the blood of Jesus around his entire property. And when he finally got home, he got a call from his wife or something. They found five dead rabid foxes just outside his property line. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. They could not cross his property line. He had pleaded the blood. See, the blood isn't just something that redeems us that we talk about. There is power. You know, I've heard that say, there is power in the blood, right? He pleaded the blood of Jesus, and he prayed intensely and pleaded that blood. He knew about the blood, okay? He knew about the blood and the power in the blood. And we do this a lot. Me and Claudia, we do it every day. And he pleaded that blood of Jesus around his boundary of his property. And there was five dead foxes. Apparently, the devil was probably sending them on his property, whatever, to kill, bite his children and give them rabies. They were found dead, five foxes on his property, outside his property line. All were rabid with rabies. Amen? I mean, that's a good story. And that's really, and that's the truth too. Amen? There's people that do it, but you've got to know, you've got to understand about the blood. That's why. No.
And the news reporters came, and they said, not one shingle.
They reported on the news, not even one shingle was knocked off his house, and all the other houses around him are just wiped out.
Yeah.
You know, but he knew about the power of the blood, and he pleaded the power of the blood around his place. Amen? So there's power in the blood. Just like that song says, there's power. We need to know that. Amen? I tell you this, the enemy, you don't see him and you're not aware of it. He's constantly, you know, against you every day, trying to ruin your life, ruin your day, rain on your parade. He's kill you, kill, steal, and destroy, wreck your family, wreck your children, wreck your finances. You better learn, amen, about your authority as a Christian. And knowing about the blood and the power of the blood is one of the biggest things you can learn. The most powerful things you can learn about, you know, who you are in Christ and, you know, how to, you know, what that does for you and how it elevates you up into this place where, you know, you're one of Christ's children. It says kings and priests, right? And you have the power and authority to use the name of Jesus against the enemy, against the devil, amen? To bind him up, right?
Yeah.
Hey, cast him out of people, right? And whatever you have to do, we're like little Jesus is running around here. We've been given the power of attorney, so to speak, the name of Jesus, and to be able to do the things that Jesus did on this earth. But we have to get that knowledge and believe it, right? We can't, you know, get scared and run every time the devil shows up, man. We gotta, you know, because you know how a bully is, he'll keep doing it until you stand up to him, right? And that's the way it is with the devil. He's not a nice guy, and he'll be a bully and try to run over you until you stand up and say, no more in the name of Jesus. And I've done it too. Like you get lazy and you let them get away with so much. But then, you know, one day you rise up in your spirit, man, you get angry and you just say, that's it, no more, devil. And you let him have it, boy. And you know what? He leaves town. You know? He reaches for the Malox, you know? You know, so he's afraid of you, man. If you know who you are, when he hears your feet coming, he can't tell the difference between your feet and Jesus' feet. If you look like, if you talk like Jesus, you act like Jesus, and so on and so forth, to him, man, you're just, he can't tell the difference whether it's you or Jesus, you know, if you know who your authority is. Amen? So, praise God. I'm glad. I'm happy for the blood, man. Praise God for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone need prayer or want prayer today or want to pray about something or a prayer request or anything?